This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. I'm Jim Goodis. Right now in Chicago, we've got 86 degrees. We've already exceeded the forecast high for the day, though it will be a bit cooler by the lake. And later on tonight, we'll see mainly clear skies, with lows ranging from 60 in some of the western suburbs to 69 at the lakefront. And don't forget, later this half hour at 1224, your next chance to win $1,000 in WBBM's Keyword for Cash contest. Right now, let's see what's going on on Wall Street. We go live to Bloomberg and get the latest from Adrian Mitchell.
Jim, tech stocks have been the story of the day, but the NASDAQ is backing away now. It had been on track for its 25th record of the year. NASDAQ's down about 5 points right now, but the Dow is still ahead by 206, and the S&P 500 is up almost 14 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index up a tick, just about a tenth percent. Google's parent company Alphabet making big gains. So are Amazon, Facebook, Apple, and Microsoft. Alphabet, Facebook, and Microsoft shares have been aiming at records. Investors are celebrating Google's profit news, which included big growth in Google's advertising business. Investors also have high hopes for the Dow's two aerospace companies, United Technologies, the maker of Pratt & Whitney jet engines, and Otis Elevators, has seen soaring demand. It's raising its profit outlook for the year, and Boeing will have profit news tomorrow morning, also helping out a recovery for oil prices. Crude futures are up 1.5%, about a buck, to just under $69 a barrel. Jim?
Coming up on the WBBM Noon Business Hour, we're going to get into depth about all those tech stocks that are doing so well, especially Alphabet. General Motors, as you heard in the CBS Hourly News, is starting a peer-to-peer car sharing service, and we'll check in with our Jeff Gilbert about that. We'll also be looking at another week of earnings, some already out, some still expected. We'll take a look at what all that means for investors. On Travel Tuesday, some tips to travel cheap, and we'll also have some tips for what happens after you land that job. All ahead on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Owners of General Motors cars now have an opportunity to earn some extra money sharing their vehicles, and we'll learn more about that in our next segment. Right now, earnings season is in high gear, with Google parent Alphabet among the latest companies to report. And we're joined by Scott Kessler, the Director of Equity Research at CFRA in New York. So Google just knocking it out of the park with those earnings.
Yeah, Jim, no, I think the results were very strong. I think, what's noteworthy is a couple of things. This is a very large company. Right now we're talking about $850 billion in market cap, so it makes it really one of the handful of largest companies on the planet, yet they were able to generate revenue growth of 26%. And that wasn't really enhanced by any kind of large acquisitions or anything like that. It's really a testament to not just, I think, the strength in Google's business model. And it's important to point out that the company is called Alphabet, but I think everyone refers to it as Google because Google as a business accounts for just about all the revenue. That being said, we also think that economic strength in the U.S. and around the world has really propped up demand. And we really wonder at this point how sustainable this level of growth for this big a company is.
Now, is Google, how do they rate in terms of that race to that psychological mark of the first trillion-dollar capitalized company and with Apple and Amazon? Is Google in a position where it might actually win that race?
I'd say in this race, they're probably a dark horse at this point. If you look at Apple, for example, I mean, this company's market cap is knocking on the door of $950 billion, and they report next week. I think if Apple provides some encouraging news in conjunction with its June quarter results, the market cap for Apple should go above $1 trillion, which would be something to behold. In terms of Amazon, Amazon's market cap at this point is higher than Alphabet's. It's around, let's call it a little higher than $875 billion. And, you know, that company is set to report, I think, in a couple of days. So it's very possible that, you know, encouraging news in conjunction with, you know, with their quarterly results could propel that stock higher and the market cap above $1 trillion as well. So it's definitely interesting to watch all these companies as people wonder if they're going to be able to reach and exceed $1 trillion in market cap for sure. And of course, don't forget about Microsoft. They reported last week, so there isn't the potential for a related positive catalyst coming up there, but its market cap is a little bit above $825 billion at this point.
So, Scott, with the European Union putting that $5 billion fine on Google because of the anti-competitive nature that it found in terms of how Android was deployed, is that still a reason for concern? Or when you look at these numbers, it's really not that much of a reason for concern?
Well, it's an important question, right? Because I think, you know, look, that announced fine and press conference from the European Commission related to the actions they were taking relative to Google, I think it got a lot of people's attention, not only, I think, because of some of the building trade tensions between Europe and the U.S. and, you know, the U.S. and, frankly, a number of other places around the world, but also the fact that it seems like Europe has had, let's say it's put targets on a lot of these large tech companies, and it started to, you know, shoot and hit targets, including Google. Last year, a $2.7 billion fine or so was levied against the company. Now this year it's $5 billion, and they indicated they're still looking at the company's advertising platform, AdSense. So this isn't going to end. Clearly, Alphabet has more than $100 billion in cash and short-term investments, so that's not really a worry, but the implications are, does Google have to change its business model? Are OEM providers, those companies that manufacture and sell Android phones, are they going to have more leverage in negotiating with the business in terms of what kind of applications are going to be pre-installed on those, and if maybe Alphabet is going to have to, you know, sweeten the pot a little bit for those companies, and that might not be financially appealing. But to be frank, I don't think at this point what is going on in Europe and elsewhere from an antitrust, regulatory, or legal perspective are exceedingly worrisome at this point.
Scott Kessler, the Director of Equity Research for CFRA out of New York, thanks again for joining us. Coming up, General Motors wants its customers to get a piece of the ride-sharing pie.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
General Motors is the first major automaker to explore peer-to-peer car sharing. And let's get details from Jeff Gilbert, the CBS auto reporter out of Detroit. So, Jeff, you could actually, I guess, sometimes you could get a better apartment by getting roommates. Maybe you could get a nicer ride by having drive mates or owner mates or peer-to-peer sharing mates.
Yeah, this is kind of like what people have done with Airbnb with their houses when they're not there, or with a spare room, renting them out. Now, GM is trying this with vehicles. They've got this Maven short-term rental service, and in Chicago, Detroit, and Ann Arbor, they're trying a pilot program where people who own GM cars can say, hey, I want to put my vehicle in that service. GM will set it up for it, and you can make a few bucks on your vehicle when you're not using it.
So, Jeff, how do you sign up for this if you want to be part of it?
I would imagine you go to the Maven app. They've got an app for that, and you can contact them through there. And the way this works is this is a win-win for GM, actually. If it works out, they get a bunch of extra vehicles to put in their Maven fleet without having to buy them from the company. And they also get people who are buying GM cars who are making a little bit extra money, so maybe they can afford a nicer car. So you can see how GM is looking at this as something that could add to their profits.
Is there a reason, Jeff, that GM is the first major automaker to try this?
you know, all automakers are trying different mobility options because they realize there's a different world out there. GM's been out in front because it has this Maven service. And by the way, Chicago is one of the biggest markets for Maven. I've been at the Chicago Auto Show and talked to the people there. And they feel, particularly in urban markets like Chicago, where a lot of people use mass transit, there's a market for these short-term rentals where maybe you're at a disadvantage for owning a car. So it's GM just exploring new mobility options. Ford has its own projects that differ a little bit from this.
All right, that's Jeff Gilbert, the CBS Auto Reporter out of Detroit. Thanks, Jeff, as always, for joining us. Still ahead on Travel Tuesday, an expert shares tips on holding down travel costs. WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's get the latest live on the markets as we check in to Bloomberg and say hello to Adrian Mitchell.
Hello, Jim. The Dow is up 174 points. The Nasdaq has drifted lower. It's down 9. And the S&P is up 11. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is flat. Alphabet and energy companies are giving the market some lift as oil rises 1.5% to just a little less than $69 a barrel. And Alphabet shares climbing 3% after a strong earnings report from Google's parent company. Farmers could be getting some help from the Trump administration. A source tells Bloomberg it's getting ready to announce billions of dollars in aid to offset the impact of the president's tariffs. Agriculture is one of the main targets of Chinese and European retaliatory trade penalties. Now here's Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities. Pete?
We've had mixed prices here at the Board of Trade. Corn has been down 6 to down 1. At the moment, December's down 2.75 at 368.5. Beans have been down 5 to up 14. The moment we have November beans up 13.5 at 876.25. And wheat's been up 2 to down 8. Wheat at the moment for September down a penny at 512.75. Mixed prices at the Board of Trade. And this is Pete Manhart.
Thanks, Pete, with business at 25 and 55 live from the Bloomberg Newsroom. Adrian Mitchell, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Welcome to the second half of the WBBM Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. I'm Jim Goodis, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Stocks mixed at this hour. We'll see what's moving the markets. In Travel Tuesday, insider tricks to help you save a lot of money. There are several key things to do following a job interview. We'll talk to an expert on employment. The number of illnesses believed linked to salads at McDonald's has now topped 400 in Illinois. The White House is preparing a plan to provide billions of dollars in emergency aid to farmers who've been hurt by tariffs. On the WBBM Market Watch right now, the Dow is up 175 points, the S&P 500 up 10, but the Nasdaq is now down 14 points. WBBM News Time, 12:31. And it has been a mixed day on Wall Street, though generally a positive one. And let's talk about the markets and earnings season with Nick Raich, who is, of course, the CEO of the Earnings Scout out of Cleveland. So, Nick, it's just been a crazy day on Wall Street, and in part because it's just been a great time to be a tech company.
Yes, certainly it has been. It's been a crazy year in general with more volatility this year. But yeah, technology earnings have been bright spots, particularly with a Google or Alphabet last night. From what we've seen, pretty good results overall for the companies that have reported.
Now, if you go to earningsscout.com, where you can find out the latest things that you're talking about, and you're looking for tips on what the best strategy is for taking advantage of the upswing in the tech sector. Do you have any particular advice on where people should be looking? Is this a good time to look to tech, or is this a time that maybe it's good to be cautious a bit?
Overall in technology, the earnings are coming in good, but what we're measuring across technology in general is some inflation in prices, and we're actually have been cautious on some semiconductor, equipment company names like a Micron, Applied Materials, and Lam Research. Those have had very solid earnings, but what we're measuring in the estimate changes as they report, they are going up, but they're going up at decreasing rates. So some of the positive momentum in these stocks is starting to wane as the price has inflated a little too much. So Air needs a lot of, we don't want to call them a bubble, But parts of technology have inflated a little too much and probably need to reset a little bit lower. That doesn't mean that's what we think of the overall market in general, but there are some certain tech stocks that have been high flyers. And if we look at the overall index this year, the S&P 500, it's really two sectors that are driving their returns: the consumer discretionary sector, thanks to Amazon and Netflix, which you could call them technology, and the technology sector itself, both with double-digit returns. Because if we look at the S&P, 8 out of the 11 sectors in the S&P this year are actually underperforming, with 7 of them with negative returns year-to-date. So two sectors, really, technology and consumer discretionary, driving things this year. But there are some solid names in there we think that will continue.
All right, let's just go through some of these companies and just give us some quick thoughts on them, starting with Alphabet and Google.
Very solid earnings. So certainly a pricey stock. We think Google's, we always call it Google, but Alphabet is a core holding, has very stable earnings, always lives up to expectations pretty well, and is generating strong cash flows. We think it should be a core holding in a portfolio, and certainly last night's numbers really supported that thesis.
Apple.
Apple's starting to get expensive. I do believe once it hits the trillion, it will probably hit $1 trillion in market cap. And at that point, we'll probably want to go the other way. But it's on its way, just a few points up higher, and Apple will become the first company ever to hit $1 trillion in market cap. I think it hits that, and then once it hits there, then it might have some issues.
Microsoft.
Microsoft, very solid, stable earnings. A forgotten name with many tech players, because it's kind of a less sexy name in the technology space, but we continue like Microsoft. Very solid earnings trends over the past several years, and it's been one of our core holding recommendations as well.
You talked about Amazon. Your thoughts on it?
Amazon is the one company in our 4,000 company database that we say it's hard to measure the trends in. That at any time, Jeff Bezos can flip a switch. If the company wants to go profitable, they could just cut back their expenses and just generate tons of business. But they tend to have their earnings estimates go down when they're building out warehouses or going into new ventures. And betting against Jeff Bezos has been a bad bet. When I look at Amazon, it should be a core holding as well, even though it's expensive. To me, Apple and Amazon are representative of the two best companies in America.
How about Netflix and maybe other media companies as well?
Netflix is certainly one we have liked. We have recently put a sell rating on it last month, as we've noticed that, as I was saying about some of the semiconductor equipment names and semiconductors itself, Netflix is exhibiting the same earnings pattern in that the estimates were going up, the earnings estimates, but at decreasing rates. And the reality is, Netflix doesn't trade off the earnings so much as it trades off the subscriber growth. And some of the rate of change to subscriber growth has gone negative a little bit. So maybe a little air needs let out of the stock. It's been a high flyer this year. And so you'll probably be able to be patient on that and be able to get a better entry point later in the year.
And Nick, anything we haven't talked about that you think we should know about?
To me, the biggest thing I'm seeing in earnings season here is 110 companies in the S&P 500 have already reported. And the one thing market naysayers, bears, will say is that there's very strong earnings growth, 26% earnings growth in average for those 110 companies, super strong. A lot will say that's only coming from the one-time tax cuts, that's only coming from share buybacks. What we've noticed with those 110 companies is 10.5% revenue growth, top-line growth. That's real business. The one thing that we are seeing is that with the top lines growing, that says the above-trend earnings growth that is being recorded right now by S&P 500 companies is likely to persist much longer than the street expects.
Nick Raich, the CEO of the Earnings Scout out of Cleveland. And remember, you can check out his website at earningsscout.com for the very latest. Nick, great to talk with you. Ahead on Travel Tuesday, ways to cut costs on your next trip.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday, sponsored by Riverfront Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And this afternoon, we're saving you money. And here with tips for cheap travel, or maybe we should just say inexpensive travel, is Cindy Richards, the editor-in-chief of TravelingMom.com here in Chicago. So lay it on me, Cindy. How can I save some money if I'm going to be doing some traveling this summer?
Oh, there's so many ways. You can save in the way you book stuff, but you can also save a lot when you're traveling. One of the things people don't usually understand or know is that if you go to a hotel and you forget something, the first stop should be down at the front desk. They have things like razors and shave cream and all of that kind of stuff, and they usually often they will give that to you. But even more importantly, they have, if you like forget your phone charger, right? We all die when we forget our phone chargers. Your first stop should be at the front desk, because chances are somebody else left that same phone charger before when they checked out, and there's a drawer full of them at the front desk that you can just borrow while you're staying there.
And Cindy, that's not to be confused with the gift shop at the hotel, right? You're literally talking the front desk.
Because this is free stuff. Yeah, if there's a gift shop at the hotel that sells it, don't expect to get it free at the front desk.
And probably at a premium price as well.
Exactly.
What else have you got, Cindy, for us?
I was just going to say, but, you know, the hotel front desk clerk should be your best friend. You know, they have the power to make your stay better or worse. And, you know, so you want to always be really nice to those people. If you get there and there's a problem with your hotel room, you don't want to yell at them. It wasn't their fault. Or if the hotel's under construction, it's not, you know, they're not the ones that decided to do that. So be really nice to those people, because most people have probably not been nice to them. And chances are you're going to get an upgrade to a better room, or some other, you know, maybe a free breakfast the next day, something like that.
So, Cindy, this is the Noon Business Hour. So the first question I'll ask you in this line is, what tips do you have for business travelers?
I think, you know, business travelers tend to be frequent travelers, so they already have access to a lot of great stuff that, you know, an occasional traveler doesn't. You always want to join loyalty programs, because even if you don't, like if you have a loyalty credit card, even if you don't use that credit card, it can get you, for example, maybe a free seat assignment on a plane, or a free bag checked, or even a hotel upgrade, or free Wi-Fi when you get to the hotel.
Now, you're also the editor-in-chief of TravelingMom.com, and there's no one who has more tips, more skills than a traveling mom, especially going with families. What tips do you have for families to help save?
Absolutely. You know, the first thing that I always say to people is, when you get to where you're going, find another mom, right? They already know where the best deals are. They know where the best restaurants are with the best food at the best prices, right? You could tell everybody that about Chicago. So, you know, take the kids to the playground and ask a local mom. You know, do the free stuff when you get there. There are free things to do everywhere. We have a whole section on TravelingMom.com of free things to do in the 50 states, and you won't be surprised to find out it's one of our most popular features.
What's the thing that you think a lot of moms or a lot of families miss out on because they simply don't know about it?
That's a good question. I think that they miss out on great deals. You know, when most families don't travel regularly, not like business travelers do, so they assume that they don't have access to things. But you do, because you can still sign up for a hotel loyalty program and get the free Wi-Fi, even if you're only going to stay there the three nights of your family vacation.
Cindy Richards, the editor-in-chief of TravelingMom.com here in Chicago. Cindy, thanks so much. Great tips. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. And still to come, the right way to follow up a job interview.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
What you do after a job interview could impact your chance for an offer nearly as much as the interview itself. Now let's find out more about that from Rick Cobb, the Executive Vice President at Challenger Gray and Christmas in Chicago. So you think you've done a great job at the interview. You think maybe you've even got the job pretty well nailed down, but you're not done once you're done with the interview, right?
That's correct. And let's put something over the top of all this. Nothing is certain. You'll know when you have a new job because you'll be sitting at your new desk. So before you look at the specifics of what to do, remember that the goal is to get the offer. You don't have to accept it, but you need the offer in order to be able to negotiate it. And nothing is done until it's done. So with that in mind, first thing is as you're leaving the interview, rather than become a pest later by continuing to call to find out what's going on, make sure that you close with a question around, I'm very interested. What's the next step? What's the next step from here? So that you give yourself a reason to touch base with them later.
Now go ahead. Well, you mentioned one thing, and before we continue on with those other things, let me ask you this. There's always the question of, when do you, you know, when the employer, for instance, asks, what's your salary expectations, or sure, you're negotiating your salary, what's the best approach when it comes to pay expectation?
Right. I think the best approach, which is a little bit of a tap dance, is that there is a job out there that no matter what it pays you, you wouldn't want. So that you can, if you get stuck and you can't get out of it and you think there's no way to avoid it, you can identify what you made. You could say at last position I made X, but for me that was really it was a function of the role that I was doing. I'm more interested in the quality of the work and being in a place where I fit and enjoy my work. But before you get to that, I have no choice but to answer the question. You're really looking at, well, that, you know, I think you want to go back to the idea that salary by itself isn't necessarily the measure of what I'm looking for. I'm really looking for a place where I fit in the culture and where I can be relevant and help the organization grow, or whatever the dynamic is of the role that you would play there. If you get stuck, you have to answer it, but you try not to answer it right away.
And Rick, you had some other ideas of things that job interviewees should do.
Sure. So, once you've closed with, I'm very interested in what's next steps, so you have that action item that's sort of built in, there are things that people will do for you immediately, but they'll forget about. And so with social media, you know, connecting with the person that you spoke with on LinkedIn, any of the people that you spoke with on LinkedIn, that first day, you have a much better chance of them accepting it than 3 days from now when they've already interviewed 5 other candidates and now they've forgotten who you are. Another thing that's important to do is to write a thank you note and take the time, even though this is foreign for many of us anymore, to write a thank you note that's somewhat personalized. And in doing that, when you're in the interview process, it's important to focus on not what you want, but what the person that you're talking to wants. And I say want as opposed to need. You might be an expert in an area and say, oh, well, this is all messed up and I can fix it and these are the things that need to happen, but not if that person doesn't want it to happen. So you're trying to understand very much, you're interviewing the interviewer more than anything, and you get the idea of what they are interested in. And then in your follow-up note, you identify ways that you think you might be able to help them with the things that they're interested in, and you personalize each one. If you see 4 people, you don't write the same thank you note to the same 4 people because they all have different interests and different trigger points.
Rick Cobb, and the Rick, go ahead.
Yeah. And I think that then the last thing is that you want to make sure that your social media, if you haven't already done it, make sure that that's clean and avoid any of the controversial pictures and posts.
Rick Cobb, the Executive Vice President with Challenger Gray and Christmas in Chicago, thank you so much for joining us. And you'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app. WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's get the latest live on the markets. This report is sponsored by the Chicago Bar Lawyer Referral Service. Live to Bloomberg and the latest from Adrian Mitchell.
Stocks have turned mixed. The Dow is up 156 points, the NASDAQ down 14, and the S&P up 9. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is down 0.3%. The NASDAQ had been taking aim at its 25th record of the year, but Microsoft shares are pulling back after hitting new highs for the past 2 sessions and contributing to the turnaround. But we do still have solid gains, thanks in large part to Google parent Alphabet. Investors are cheering growth in its mobile advertising and cloud services businesses, and Alphabet shares are up more than 3%. United Technologies, the maker of Pratt & Whitney jet engines and Otis elevators, is reporting soaring demand. Shares are up nearly 3%. The stock is contributing the most to the Dow's advance. Fresh tariffs on imported metals designed to protect U.S. companies are hurting one U.S. company. Appliance giant Whirlpool is reporting weaker than expected second quarter results because of rising raw materials costs in 3 of its 4 regional markets, including North America. Whirlpool sinking 14%. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Adrian Mitchell, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.